May the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer.
Here are just a few random thoughts. Random and rambling thoughts that flow out of a rambling and random mind. We all know that God thinks, right? He's a person. He has a soul. He thinks, he feels, he wills. But the cool thing about God is he thinks without a brain. You do know that, right? God the Father doesn't have a brain. He has no physical brain. He has a mind. But he doesn't have a brain. And the cool thing is that we have a brain, this amazing computer in our humanity, it's part of who we are, but our physical being, but we're told as believers that we've been given the mind of Christ. And what God wants to do is to transform us, the scripture says, by the renewing of our mind. As I mentioned yesterday, when Jesus was ministering to his people and to the people he was speaking to, he was constantly saying things to them about changing the way they think. And he used the word repent, which just again means to change your mind. But the preface from which he was saying that was, you have every reason to change the way you think because the kingdom of heaven's here. He said, I've got really good news. There's a whole new realm of reality that you can experience, enter into. A reality in a realm where the will of God dominates, not the fall and the effects of the enemy and the authority and the power of Satan, but his reign, God's rule and God's reign. It's a totally different realm. So that's such good news. You need to stop thinking the way you've been thinking, like fallen people who are under the dominion of a fallen kingdom and a dark kingdom, and start thinking like people of the light. You know, Hippocrates was the founder of modern medicine. Every doctor to this day, they take the Hippocratic Oath, this promise to take care of people. So he's still the father of modern medicine. And one of the premises of his medical practice, of his philosophy, was a statement. And Hippocrates would say this. He said, it's not nearly as important about the disease that a person has. It's more important to find out about the person who has the disease. Now hear it again. I'll say it backwards. It's more important to know about the person who has the disease than the disease the person has. That was his philosophy. And there was some insight into that. And the insight is that we're connected in so many different ways. Our humanity is. And that so much of what we suffer, even physically, is a result of the fall, not because of personal sin, that can be, but just because of the effects of sin on our humanity and how it makes us think and perceive. And this is not news to all of us that we've heard for years that one of the great reasons for sickness and disease is stress. Isn't it amazing how when we think about some of our ancestors or people that we know in generations before us, I've told this story, I've heard this conversation so many times about people that I know who've died in the last few years, who were in their 90s, who ate nothing but fried something every day the rest of all their life. And they didn't seem to be near as marked with some of the stuff that this generation is. But they didn't have cell phones. And they were blessed with not being able to text. They didn't have computers, and for many of them, for parts of their life, they didn't have televisions. And we live in a world now to where if somebody tries to call me on my cell phone, I had this happen in a meeting, a council meeting, with some other bishops. And one of them was angry with me and had to ask for my forgiveness because of their anger, because they had tried to get in touch with me, and I didn't get back with them until the next day. And it wasn't an emergency. They just tried to get in touch with me. And I had to break the bad news to them that that won't be the last time that happens. So I lived a large part of my life where I wasn't accessible 24/7. And I don't intend to be accessible 24/7 today, unless it's an emergency. If it's an emergency, of course, I'll be there. But if it's not an emergency, I'm not going to be accessible. I'm not supposed to be accessible. Only God is accessible 24/7. He can take it. It's not, I can't. But there's this scripture in Ephesians 1 that says this. So hopefully I can connect the dots a little bit. Verse 18 of Ephesians 1. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, so that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. But I want you to see this first part again. And in other versions it says, and that I pray that the eyes of your understanding may be enlightened. The eyes of your heart, the eyes of your understanding may be enlightened, that you may know. The truth is, we only know, we perceive, what we perceive is determined by how we perceive. Our understanding totally impacts what we think we know. The way we think totally impacts the way we live and the way we feel and the way we behave. That's why Proverbs says, as a man thinketh in their heart, so are they. And again, that's why it says in 2 Corinthians chapter, is it Romans 12, that we're transformed, not by getting a new heart. You got one of those in your new birth. But what we need is a new head. We need to begin to stop thinking the way we've been thinking and start thinking in union with the mind of Christ. We have the mind of Christ, but so many times in our lives we don't live in union with the mind of Christ. We don't perceive reality the way he does. An example would be the gospel lesson that was read this morning. When Jesus was confronted with the situation of all these people who needed to be fed, and yet what he had, the resources were absolutely, ridiculously insufficient. I mean, there was only one person who thought something might can happen, and that was a little boy, because he hadn't learned enough to live in fear all of his life. And instead, he brings 5 loaves and 2 fish. In the Greek language, it was 5 crackers and a couple of sardines, basically, which I can relate to now that I'm on this diet that I'm on. Sardines have become my best friend. And he presents this to one of the disciples because he felt like somehow something, Jesus could do something with this. And so Jesus didn't stress out as the Son of Man. You understand, the way that Jesus dealt with the situation wasn't that as God, he zapped the stuff. He was trying to teach them as the Son of Man how to live by faith. That's why it says in John passage that he knew what he was about to do. Not perform a miracle, but to exercise faith so that his Father could perform the miracle. And so it says that Jesus looked up to heaven and he gave thanks. And it says in John passage also, after he gave thanks, after this exercise of faith, this miracle occurred. And it wasn't just enough. They didn't just survive the situation. There was 12 basketful left over. Now Jesus, as the Son of Man, didn't flip out, didn't stress out, didn't reach for the Valium or the Xanax, didn't text somebody for an answer. He knew that the Father was, he was in the Father, but he also knew the Father was in him. And because he was in the Father, he was in a situation where the Father placed him. And that he knew the situation was the Father's. And that Jesus didn't think, his understanding wasn't limited by the limitations of the human resources in front of him. Instead, he looked up to heaven, which was just a gesture, but he looked beyond what he could see and he saw the resources of heaven as the real reality he was dealing with here. With his understanding, that's what he understood as reality. what he knew, that this was a circumstance that the Father could handle. And as a result of it, the activity of heaven, the resources of heaven were released, and there was enough left over. I won't go on forever, trust me. A joyful heart is good medicine or creates good healing. But a broken spirit dries up the bones. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. It totally transforms your understanding, and then it therefore transforms what you know. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. That totally changes the way you think. And He will make your path straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. It's not your situation, it's His. Fear the Lord. In other words, acknowledge Him. His presence makes all the difference. And turn away from evil thinking, and it will be healing to your entire body and refreshment to your bones. As I've gotten older, I encounter very few joyful hearts. We carry so much burden because our understanding of what's going on is so weighed down because there's no fear of the Lord. It's as if He's not even part of the equation. And the mind of Christ is simply involving Him and resources beyond anything I can see or understand in the natural dominate the reality of the situation and circumstance. That's true in everything we do and every person we pray for. This sickness and this disease isn't the number one reality. Thank God the resources of heaven are. And if that's my understanding, instead of being scared to death, the person's going to get disappointed, I'll have a joyful heart and an opportunity to release the resources of heaven because my knowing will be different. You with me? It's a real complicated word. It's called faith. All that. This is what preachers do. We go around the world, say a bunch of weird stuff, and go, it's about faith. But faith is what the mind of Christ is all about. We have to start thinking the way He thinks. You have that potential. You've been given the mind of Christ. And the way Jesus thinks is He looks beyond your limitation and your weaknesses and your inadequacy and your inability, and operates on the resources of heaven. That releases a joyful heart. And one of the things I've been doing in this process of walking around with these little steel cages in my chest is wanting to understand as much as I can to come in line with the union in the heart of God about walking in faith and the processes of what goes on inside of us and how it affects us. I think that's not the cause of all of our stuff, even physically, but I think Hippocrates had something there. That it's more important to know the kind of person with a disease than the kind of disease that the person has, if you're really going to heal the real issue in their life. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.